Welcome to The Brainstorm, a podcast and video series from ARK Invest. Tune in every week as we react to the latest in innovation and reflect on how short-term news impacts our long-term views. To learn more, visit ARK-invest.com.
ARK Investment Management, LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor. ARK and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other, and therefore ARK disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and/or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.
We're entering the AI arena today, episode 79 of The Brainstorm. Nick is tired of talking about benchmarks, so let's just test them out. We've got Frank here. We've got three of the leading AI models up. Frank, anything you want to say before we go head to head here and see what's useful and what's not?
No, I think we should just dive into it. The one caveat I'd make is three AI products. They are based on different models, but one of them, Perplexity, lets you pick many different models. So we can, when we get into it, we can talk about which model we want to use for the test.
All right. Yeah, right now it looks like you've got O3 Mini on Perplexity. Should we switch that over to DeepSeek?
Yeah, go DeepSeek.
Yes. Notice all the options here. From a user perspective, the average user probably doesn't know what to pick for what, which is why Sam Altman tweeted last week that they're consolidating all the model choices in a future version to make this easier, because I have a hard time keeping track of it right now. So that'll be a welcome change.
Yeah, they have a naming issue too. They don't make great choices when it comes to naming their models. Yeah.
But I just tweeted this out. I think that's across the board and there's something bigger to it. Like the Apple iPhone 16e.
Like, well, we've been doing tech for too long.
What are we doing?
The numbers are getting too high for
And the letters don't mean anything. But okay, back on track here. Frank, first question across the board. What are we asking them?
All right. We are going to ask, because all three of these products can search the internet, to generate a report on what's moving the stock market today so we can figure out how far away AI is from taking our jobs.
And this will test the real-time nature of these products, which is very important.
And all three are in thinking mode, so they're all going to do the chain of thought reasoning. And they all have the option to search, but we're not telling them the ones that you can tell explicitly to search. We're not telling them explicitly you must search. Obviously, you have to search to answer this. So the unique thing, ChatGPT and Perplexity can search the open web. Grok 3 can also search X, which probably has more limited access from the other two.
But potentially the most real-time information.
Yes. ChatGPT has finished first.
All right. Who's reading what?
Well, I like to look at the overall structure first here. Is this something that you can glance through and understand what's going on? Got economic data, corporate earnings, geopolitical tensions, investor sentiment.
Ooh, I'm not liking the DeepSeek answer. This is a reference to April, May minutes from the Fed.
That seems totally wrong. it's February.
Right.
And you can see Grok really calling it out, 11:50 a.m. Feb 19. Inflation concerns, that's certainly been circulating on X. Tariff threats, true. Broad market rally.
Do you think NVIDIA shares are down 4% right now? Let's check Perplexity's source. Clicking into the source directly is great. This is a source totally unrelated to NVIDIA share price. So
yes, and NVIDIA is currently about flat, slightly up.
I think we have to, my initial read is Grok 1, O3 Mini 2, and then a distant third, DeepSeek.
Damn. Yeah, so nothing against Perplexity here. This is because we chose the DeepSeek model.
Yeah.
So that's
yes, which I think their Perplexity has their own fine-tuned models, which are fine-tuned to search the web and give accurate information. Their wrapper around DeepSeek, I know they actually just released this morning a fine-tuned version of DeepSeek, so it might be changing quickly, but yes, I would agree with the ranking.
All right, let's go to the next one. This is a puzzle for those of you who love posting and playing games on LinkedIn. This is a simpler version of the Queen's game. And we're going to see, just posting the image and the instructions that are given, who can solve it. You got to take a Grok out of think mode.
Grok 3, brand new, hot off the press, doesn't support images in think mode yet.
Do you think for
this type of game should be a significant disadvantage. This game is kind of similar to Sudoku or a crossword puzzle where you have to like iteratively solve things step by step, which is exactly what thinking modes are supposed to do. So Grok is a little handicapped here.
All of the AI models are thinking right now. No puzzles, no puzzles, no puzzles, no puzzles.
Sorry, please not. Please no puzzles. Please no puzzles.
You like that reference, Sam?
Yeah.
All right, Grok already answered.
But it clearly misunderstood is it right? Let's see.
Well, Grok's experiencing heavy traffic, so I think they've probably downgraded our model from 3 to 2.
All right, well, let's pull up the solution and see if it matches. It looks like it.
Wow. Okay, here's the final answer. We got, Perplexity drew one. That's cool.
That's nice. 1-1 is wrong.
No, 1-1's right if it starts 0-0.
Oh, right. It does.
Does it start 0-0?
I don't know. I haven't read the answer fully. 1-1, 1-3, 3-2, 4-5, 5-4.
That sounds wrong.
Oh yeah, no, it's not indexed at 0. Grok is wrong.
Okay.
Is it possible that there's multiple combinations?
Yes.
Well, should we just put it?
Yeah, why don't we just put in 1-1, 1-3, 2-2.
Is it XY?
I would imagine so.
1-3? It's definitely
wrong. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Either way, it's wrong.
Okay.
ChatGPT is still thinking. We did use so this is where the naming convention comes in. High mode means it's using the most thinking time possible to try and answer the question and double checking its work twice.
like Santa.
Yes. Okay. Perplexity. I'm just going to try and replicate exactly where they put these. It's wrong.
No, but treat the top bar as the top bar in the chart. Or does it not even...
But isn't three? This is the middle one. They have two queens.
In
the orange.
Done.
All right, so we have one hope left. Well, I mean, the short answer is that the models can do tasks that might take humans quite a bit of time, like reading all the news and generating a well formatted report. Different levels of accuracy, but they can do it very quickly. I think that they were all done in less than a minute. Something that, if you can actually trust the response, genuinely value add, saves time. There are other tasks, which is, I think, surprising to people who don't follow the space regularly, that are simple to humans. This is like the easiest game board that you can create that 2 out of 3 have failed at. And the other one is obviously taking much longer than it took us to solve it, which was maybe 30 seconds. So there's still ample room for improvement. But one of the interesting things I think about the thinking models generally, you get this new performance unlock by allowing them to think longer, which is why you have this O3 mini high. But over time, through a process called reinforcement learning, the models are actually trained to get better at thinking, get more efficient at thinking, so they can solve harder problems in the same amount of time or solve the same class of problems more quickly. So we expect that this performance that you see right now to actually continuously improve as we're moving into this reinforcement technique. And reinforcement learning is something that's been around in AI for quite a long time. It's what powered the models AlphaGo Zero that beat the Go and chess grandmasters, because models were able to self-teach themselves how to play these board games, which have a very constrained playing environment and a fixed set of rules. And the open research question has been, can we apply this to general world knowledge? Because there isn't a fixed set of rules for the game of life. And until the DeepSeek paper really that came out just about a month ago, there wasn't really published research of using this technique for large language models at frontier level performance at the scale of a model that you know you would use in ChatGPT. Now, OpenAI came out with the reasoning model first, and it looks like they've been using this technique too. But we're now seeing that proven out for the first time. And as you saw with non-reasoning LLMs, where you got performance through scale, whether it was having more training data or a bigger model or just more compute to train the model for a longer period of time, we expect in these companies or are already publishing research on it, that you're going to have the same scaling law for reinforcement learning applied to inference time compute, which is why you see in xAI's announcement of Grok 3, they've already doubled the size of their GPU cluster, now going from 100,000 GPUs to 200,000 GPUs, with the expectation that this scaling law is going to continue. And I think one of the most impressive things with the xAI announcement is that they have caught up to the frontier of performance, even though they're little over a year old, which this is comparing to companies like DeepMind from Google, from OpenAI, companies that have been around longer than a decade that have been, pursuing this. It's incredible that just moving very fast with a lot of scale and a talented team, to be fair, that they, have pulled experience from the industry, have been able to catch up so quickly.
We're getting an answer.
All right. That was the longest I've ever seen an AI, I think. So
I hope it's right.
If not, sad.
All right. 1-1 in teal.
Wait, that's not teal. Look at how it broke it
down. Oh my God. Have we been solving them all upside down? And we've been reading the coordinates wrong.
So where the problem?
A convenient labeling of the boards. Oh, interesting.
Two, four, three, two.
This is right. Yeah.
4-5-5-3.
Yeah,
it's right.
Wow. Okay, but now go back to Grok. See if Grok got it.
So it's possible that the biggest problem with these models is the human in the loop.
But 1113 is obviously wrong. So
yeah.
No matter what you put that.
Wow. This looks right. It just doesn't match the board, right?
Yes.
Yes. That is a solution. That's the solution to.
I think it's a solution if you take out the color. Right?
Yeah, it's a solution to a board that we weren't playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's colorblind.
Unless it's, do you think it's inverted? Should we just try and do it upside down?
Yes.
Oh, it could be inverted. Are you doing it?
It's going to break my brain too much to do live.
just turn your head.
I'll just turn the computer upside down.
I think this is right. No. It was the top. Yeah. And then bottom green.
Okay.
Wow.
So,
Perplexity did it right, but printed it upside down.
Wow. Okay. All right. So this is
actually a success.
So then, ranking these, not Perplexity using deep research. Or what was it? DeepSeek?
Yeah,
DeepSeek. So that was actually number one because it came in the fastest. But it was upside down and hard
to read. I would penalize it for actually printing it wrong.
All right, that's fair. And then ChatGPT tied, I guess. It took 6 minutes.
I don't think we should. I would rather it come in upside down than take 5 minutes.
Okay, but if you only had one shot to answer it, you'd have to answer it wrong.
That's fair.
And then,
that's right. Squid Game rules.
Yeah. Should we do the last question or should we do takeaways?
No, do the last.
I'm enjoying myself.
All right, and this is relevant because Microsoft just came out with some quantum announcements, and the question is this actually game changing or not? But this is a more broad question than tying directly to the Microsoft announcement.
And here's a question for you guys. What if you were assigning this to a research analyst, what would you like to see in the response?
I mean, I would like to know what the key metric that they're using to form this opinion is.
Also, hopefully you'd be able to define material, as in what does that, you know, is that a 1% lift to?
This is an intentionally vague question.
Yes.
Lobbed over to our AI research associates.
You'd like to see some structure in the answer of, you know, maybe they've thought about it, but it could come in with, you know, different numbers than you would assume.
I'm interested to see if any just ask follow-up questions of like, let's see.
So for those just listening, ChatGPT has already answered. It reasoned for eight seconds. The other two, Perplexity using DeepSeek and Grok, just finished. Perplexity is currently in writing mode.
All right. I'll interpret ChatGPT's answer of it thought for 8 seconds and said, yeah, hard question. People say 10 to 30 years, 10 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't give an analysis, I would say. Summarized.
Then Perplexity kind of did like a McKenzie summary, I would say. And they said, you know, here's what the reports are saying, you know, 100 to 500 million annually through 2030, medium-term growth, 2030 to 2040 gives some numbers, 1 trillion by 2035, challenges and considerations, talent shortages, and regional disparities. So pretty weak. So
pretty interesting, just looking at the comparison between Perplexity and Grok. Grok took it a step further and went and gave basic understanding and answers to what is quantum computing, challenges, current state. Perplexity gave an answer, which is, I think, is a great answer, but it did not include any of the basic information about quantum computing, which you maybe put on in this.
I feel like you can tell why Grok has dominated the chatbot arena, because clearly it's definitely the most user-friendly in terms of formatting, understanding, and like holding your hand in a sense.
Yeah, well, it's the only one that both defined quantum computing and explaining a need to define material impact, which is one of the things you asked for, Nick.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because if you think about the data set that Grok has that these other two do not, is Twitter, which is informal, user-generated text-based content that is easy to read because you're tweeting or Xing in a way that is, you know, not scientific. It's usually informal. It comes off as kind of conversational. So it's interesting to see that Grok matches that type of information dispersion.
I would also say it seems to me, because Perplexity explicitly has access to research papers, that it's summarized a lot of research papers, which is okay. I mean, that's a starting point I might go to of let me read a bunch of research, understand the results, and then make a prediction after. If we did follow-up questions, I would ask for a forecast and, you know, a quantifiable metric to base that forecast on. But
so, all right, to summarize, ChatGPT said, this is not worth my time. Here's a BS answer. Perplexity went very deep, and Grok went deep, but not as deep, but gave a lot of background information that would teach you about what quantum computing is if you had no idea, which I think is valuable.
Right. Grok and Perplexity, great starting points. OpenAI, still a medium, I'd say like one nudge in the starting point direction, in that you could search, you know, error correction and stability, and that's will be a fruitful search of path to go down. All right, takeaways. We just asked three questions. It's pretty amazing. My takeaway, it's like, if your first instinct isn't to go to an AI tool, you should try and make that your first instinct. It's like the difference between, you know, your parent asking you something, you're like, have you Googled it? And now, you know, if you're Googling it, or you're not keeping up with the cutting edge.
I will say this. My takeaway is the benchmarks don't mean much. You have to use them and compare, because, you know, the benchmark versus using it in a daily setting, it's clear that these all offer different, you know, functions and are better at searching for and answering different questions, which you don't necessarily, as a user, when you hear that, you know, Grok surpassed others on benchmarks, correlate to exactly, well, what does that mean as a user? What question should I ask this one versus this one? You kind of have to go out there and test them for yourself.
Yeah. It's like, great, you have a PhD, but have you ever worked with a PhD? It's like, you know, it's you can solve a super niche hard problem, but that doesn't mean you know everything.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate the when you compare side by side how answers are framed. Even if everybody has the same detail of factually accurate information, the way that Grok 3 presents, I do see why it's the leaderboard that Sam's talking about, maybe the least biased benchmark, or at least it's generalized, is just looking at the responses of two models, which response do you prefer? And Grok 3 has the highest score on that benchmark of anything we've seen, from users actually just rating two models side by side, which do I like better? I think we have confirmed that general average user opinion. I also will say, not really noticeable from this test we've done, but I think the product experience is really important outside of just the model's actual intelligence. So how easy is it to pick the right model that you're using? There's so many options now of am I doing search? Am I doing thinking mode? Can I attach an image or can I not attach an image? Can this thing write and run code if it needs to answer the question? All of those features matter. And then just how accessible it is as a product also matters. I think ChatGPT is still my default because it has a desktop app and a keyboard shortcut. And Perplexity does too, but I like this feature that ChatGPT has where it hovers over your window. So it can be your side-by-side, always on top, a general assistant across everything that you do. And was happy to see that Perplexity already has a desktop app that can always get better, and that XAI is also going to be launching one soon. They already have a phone app. If you haven't downloaded it, try it out.
Also, you know, we should note, it's like we did a very humanities based questioning here, right? We didn't get into coding or data analysis. So that's for another time.
Yeah.
But it's like, I know OpenAI does very well there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, normally we thank everyone for listening. We're also going to apologize if you were just listening and didn't.
Yeah, sorry for listening.
Sorry for listening. You should view the YouTube. It will make entirely more sense what we were doing. We didn't do the best job describing exactly what the outputs were from these models. So thank you to those that watched on YouTube. Apologies to those that just listened on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you consume your podcast. But until next time, thank you.